In that gospel reading were the words Jesus asked them, "Have you understood all of these things?" "Yes," they replied. Let's pray. Loving God, as we come to explore your word that is given to us today, we ask for your guidance. We ask that our hearts and our minds are open, and that we can begin to understand what you are saying to us. Guide us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a story about a man who had a huge block of marble. And his friend looked at it with him and he said, "My goodness, what on earth are you going to do with that huge block of marble?" And he said, "Well, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to sculpture an elephant." And his friend said to him, "But you're not a sculptor." And the man said, "I know that. But I thought if I chipped off everything that doesn't look like an elephant, I might succeed." Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And in searching for something, it is necessary to have an idea of what it looks like." People spend their lives, don't they, constantly searching. They're constantly looking for their treasures. Maybe they go and do the lottery in the hope that they're going to win the millions. Or maybe they join the casino, and especially with all these apps on our phones nowadays. Or they use the stock market. If only they could hit that jackpot, their troubles will all be over. And you know, in one way or other, we are all treasure hunters. We're all looking for something that will make us happy. And there's nothing wrong with that, because Christ encourages us in our searching, as those two cameos that we had in our gospel reading tell us. Christ loved searchers. He had sympathy for those who keep looking, even when they look in the wrong places or for the wrong things. He understood their hunger and their thirst, and he was able to then point them into the right direction. So how do we search for the kingdom of God? Well, I want us to think about those two little parables that were in that gospel reading. First of all, the worker in the field. Now, we are only told he's a worker, and I'm guessing he would have been there ploughing. And it wasn't unusual in Jesus' time for people to bury all of their treasures. Their family fortune would go down into the ground. There were banks in Jesus' time, but people didn't trust them. And according to Jewish laws, it was finders keepers, although owning the land would make it more secure. And having found it, found this treasure, there was no stopping him, was there? He went and he sold everything he could to make that treasure his. And then we had the story, that wonderful parable of the pearls. The pearl merchant, he'd spent the whole of his life searching for that one special, outstanding pearl. Now, pearls from the Far East often pass through Palestine on their way to the markets of the Roman Empire. And alert traders were always on the lookout for a new and particularly fine specimens that they could add to their collection. And the idea of one merchant probably going out and selling everything in order to buy that one rare pearl, well, that probably wouldn't have happened. But that's part of Jesus' storytelling. He had a style that would make people laugh and sit up and think. Jesus, in telling us these parables, is telling us a story which would capture people's attention, and from all different backgrounds. So it's not just the man working in the field, but it is the businessman. He reaches out to all sorts of people. And both the treasures of the precious pearl and the buried treasure, according to the beginning of each parable, are clues to the kingdom of heaven. But they are both different stories with different meanings. And that is what we have to remember. Think about it, in the field. Now, there he was out there ploughing the field. Now, I've just been really lucky. I've just come back from Egypt. And I think I can picture this much more, having been out there now. Because we see big fields and we see big tractors. And the fields get ploughed. And even in the olden days with hand ploughs, it was big fields. But out there, they have small bits. And they sit and they ponder all day, just sitting there, weeding their field. Wouldn't be very big, half the size of this room if you're lucky. And there he was, pondering and weeding, maybe a bit of ploughing. And he came across the treasure. And he realized this was special. And so he went off and he sold everything that he had in order that he could have this unexpected surprise. He was overcome by his good fortune. And then, by contrast, we have this pearl merchant. He is a person of means. He sets out on a quest. He is focused. I am going to find the best pearl that I ever can. He is searching for that treasure. He knows what he wants. And they were especially valuable in Jesus' time. And treasure seekers searched the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean in order to find that exceptional pearl. So it's not totally unexpected, but it is the result of persistent searching. These parables are teaching us about the demands of discipleship and the costliness under the rule of God. In both of these parables, neither of them pass up the chance to purchase the field. Discovery takes precedence. Living under the reign of God entails discoveries like that. This is not about seeing, but it's about desiring the kingdom. And interestingly, Jesus offers no comment or explanation for either of these two parables, but he leaves it up to his audience to work it out, what that might mean. And I guess probably later on, when his disciples have got Jesus by themselves, they'll ask him, "What did you mean by that?" They were friends and they could have shared those comments. But if that did happen, we have no record of it. But Jesus does ask this one searching question. He says, "Have you understood?" "Yes," they said. "Yes." I wonder what it was that they understood that day. I wonder what it is that we understand. Jesus passes no verdict on their answer, one way or the other. And by Jesus entering into this story in this way, he is confirming the nature of God's reign. So whether we search or whether we just stumble across the truth about the kingdom of heaven and God and eternal life, these stories suggest that we shouldn't let that truth out of our sight. This is about the searching for the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. And that's often been the subject of both serious and comic literature, as well as much philosophical debate. Jesus is saying that this is indeed the most important thing to talk about, and it brings us home to God. But it is something in the end that we have to find for ourselves. The kingdom of God is a simple concept. It means to know that we are a child of God with a divine dignity and an eternal destiny. It means to know the meaning of life and how to live it. And to taste the kingdom of God involves letting go of things. Things such as our dependence on them and the way that we make them the be-all and end-all of life. And the psalmist had seen that. He looked at the past in a way to define the present and to invite the community to a future that is given and remembered by God. The kingdom of heaven is like the promised land, and life pushes us towards the well-being that is intended by God. A close relationship with God is the real treasure. It gives us a sense of who we are and where we're going, and only God can help us to look for that. And if we find God, we find everything. And finding the kingdom of heaven is the best thing that can ever happen to anyone. And it is a treasure worth putting everything aside for.